There's a steal by Jordan. Intercepts the pass out top for the layup. Lays it up and in. Counted and a foul on Purdue. Taken away. Two on one. Fast break. Black for the slam. Bad pass. Stolen by Frazier. Purdue 52, Illinois 50. Frazier for the lead. Yes. And he got it. Frazier puts Illinois up 53-52. Carson Edwards cuts to the basket and slams it in. Oh, my goodness. 2 seconds left. Ball game is over as Mathias will dribble it out. The Illini gave the ninth-ranked Boilermakers all they wanted. 93-86. Purdue wins over Illinois.
It's time for Saturday Sports Talk on News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana. We'll get you caught up on your Illini sports news, along with other area and national sports news. Here are Lauren Tate and Michael Kaiser.
Good Saturday morning. Don't adjust your clocks. We're on an hour early today. Illini baseball coming up at 9:45 this morning, so we got you till about that time. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning, whereas we're going to plenty of Illini basketball coverage, but a lot of big news around the country yesterday with college basketball. And Lauren Tate, they really got big last night when Sean Miller was implicated in FBI wiretaps, according to an ESPN report, of offering $100,000 to DeAndre Ayton, the superstar freshman for Arizona. And DeAndre Ayton has had a great season, but Sean Miller said, I'll be the one to deal with the money.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that in most cases you'd want to do that because it's so important, although I'm sure there are some cases where assistant coaches have handled it and kept the deniability for their head coach.
We'll have to see what happens with Sean Miller today. We're keeping an eye on that as we move through.
Game tonight, huh? In Oregon?
Yeah, they play tonight at Oregon. And it's 9 o'clock tonight, and I just can't imagine DeAndre Ayton or Sean Miller being involved in that game.
It would shock the world if Arizona allowed him to coach. I'm sure that he will not, but we'll see.
Yeah, it should be very, very interesting to see what happens. And I'm trying to get Lauren's mic situated here. Go ahead, Lauren, talk to that mic.
One, two, three.
Hello.
There he is.
Okay.
Lauren Tate is with us in the building.
What I was saying is that under no circumstances can Sean Miller coach tonight for Arizona unless they just are going to just flaunt the cheating that he has done and just say we're going to go forward. You told me something this morning I can't believe, though, about his contract. Tell me about that.
If Sean Miller is fired for cause, most coaches,
which is going to be the case,
yeah, when he is indeed fired, most coaches, when that happens, get zero depending on their contracts. Darren Revell of ESPN said last night, if he gets fired for cause, the way Arizona has written his deal, he would still get roughly 85% of the money he has remaining, which is $10.3 million out of the 12. Again, that's if he's fired for cause. It's written into his contract.
Why would you write something as a university into a contract saying, if you cheat and we have to fire you, we're still going to pay you? Why would you do that? I mean, that's crazy.
I'm floored by that. It's one thing to fire a guy for cause and then later reach a settlement, you know, after the fact. But for his contract to be written that way.
What he's done is egregious. I mean, and there's no telling how many other players. By the way, this is just one player. This is just one incident. One tiny corner of the underworld of college basketball. This is one tiny corner. This is one agency. This doesn't have anything to do with what Under Armour might be doing, what Nike might be doing. This is all basically through Adidas that they're finding these problems.
Give us a call, 356-9397. Text us at the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Listen live at WDWS.com. Email us your thoughts as well, talk at WDWS.com. Podcast to this show and others at our website and on iTunes. Well, so far, two players have been held out of action. San Diego State has suspended leading scorer Malik Pope, averaging nearly 13 points a game, 7 rebounds, after he was accused of accepting a $1,400 loan. The school is investigating. Eric Davis has been withheld for future games at Texas due to his link to the FBI probe. It's a $1,500 payment. And the big question of the Big Ten is what will Tom Izzo of Michigan State do about Miles Bridges, whose mother received hundreds of dollars, according to Christian Dawkins' expense reports. Again, this is all in a Yahoo Sports report yesterday. They broke the news yesterday morning. I mean, there were spreadsheets of things. I mean, there's just names after names after names, and we can talk about that the whole time. Whole show
20
today.
Players and about 25 schools involved.
Yeah, I mean, we're Kentucky and Duke. Now, Duke has cleared Wendell Carter. They looked at this. They already looked into it, and they called the NCAA, and he's still going to play, but he was listed in this as well.
Yeah, it was under $100. I think it was just a meal, basically.
Well, and that's the thing, is some of this stuff is meals, and when you get into that, I mean, that's also illegal. That's an NCAA violation.
But it's
an extra benefit.
Yeah, but it might be one game suspension or even maybe nothing. I mean, There are a lot of minor things like meals don't get major suspensions.
Yeah, and so this would be like you just have to sit out one game. The much different level than the DeAndre Ayton situation. And, of course, Arizona's coming off of losing Alonzo Trier the other day to a tiny amount of a substance in his drug mm-hmm. in his system.
Yeah, I don't know that case, but it sounds really shaky. I mean, it sounds like he maybe he didn't do anything wrong intentionally.
Well, his mother said it was a car accident last year where he was given something he didn't even know and didn't even know he took it, and that's why he had to sit out 19 games last season. They're saying he did not do anything wrong. We'll have to see if the Arizona wins that appeal. But Arizona's in danger of losing their head coach and two of their star players at the end of the season. I think, Lauren, at the beginning of the year, when practice started, and you know, after this FBI thing came out, we were all wondering, okay, is anything else going to come out as the season goes along? And it got really quiet there for a long time. But this week, things changed a lot.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that they would give one player $100,000 if this wasn't a competitive situation? I mean, who else was offering 50? Who else was offering 75? You don't go to $100,000 unless there's a reason for you to go that high.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to go to that level. And you've been saying this for a long, long time about the college basketball and the players getting paid through various different ways. And
well,
they'll
never catch the real way they get paid.
They'll never
catch it. And that's individuals just giving kids money. That's the groups of individuals representing, let's say, the school Duke. And without any knowledge of Coach K, they've got a group of people there who are going to make sure that the players are taken care of. And it's done privately, and it's done through parents. And by the way, what we're talking about are high school players when they come out of high school to go to college, right? This is basically what – why do you – there's never – these deals are never done with the athlete. They're always done with the parents. That's why they say, well, the kid didn't know. The parents did it. No, the parents do all of this. If they guaranteed – and I don't know this specifically, but if they guaranteed a player $100,000 to go to Arizona, that money went through his parents.
Yeah.
It always does, or one parent. In most cases, there's only one parent.
It's just not – they're not writing a check with Brian Bowen of formerly of Louisville, now at South Carolina. Who knows if he'll ever suit up for South Carolina? My guess is no. His dad supposedly got $100,000. Rick Pitino's out. Not just because of that, but that's a long laundry list of things for his issues there. Brian Bowen didn't, you know, he may have gotten
he
some.
Didn't, he claimed he didn't even know.
Yeah, he claims he had no idea his dad even did that. Is that possible? That's
all
the question.
All the negotiating is done by parents.
Do you think the kids still know about that, though?
Sure, I think they do. I think they probably know. The parents, they talk to their parents. Dad, I want to go to Arkansas. No, we got a better deal over here from, you know, somebody from Mississippi. I mean, sure, they talk about it. I don't have any doubt they talk about it. But by the same token, it's not the kid negotiating with the agent. It's not the kid. It's always the parents. And why do we keep saying it's the kids?
No, I never thought it was the kids. I know the kids are a part of the process in some level because it's.
But you just saw this story today. So and so was offered $100,000. They didn't say his parents were. They said he was.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's because that's the way it's stated. But the fact of the matter is, these are high school kids coming right out of high school. They're not they haven't detached themselves from their parents yet.
I think it depends on the situation. I think that an agent could easily walk up to a kid and offer him all kinds of things if he stays with him after his first year in college.
When Adidas offered Cliff Alexander money to come to Kansas and rather than Illinois, which he had announced earlier that day mm-hmm. to John Gross, when they did that, they were dealing with his mother. They weren't dealing with him.
Oh.
When he sat up there and said, I have to do this for my family, what do you think he was talking about? He'd agreed to it. He knew about it. But the parents, or the mother was the one who arranged, the money went to her.
That freshman season didn't go so well for Cliff Alexander.
No, it didn't.
He didn't even get to finish his freshman season for Kansas. One guest we're having on today from Arizona, Matt Marino. We had him on a few weeks ago when we got Rod Smith, the new offensive coordinator for Illinois. He covers men's basketball and football. Get his thoughts on this situation. He tweeted last night, I think this sums it up pretty well, Lauren. As I said before, if the program you root for ever made you say, I wonder how we got X, or I can't believe we got X, you should probably be a little concerned at the moment. And I completely agree with that. I if you were like, how did we get so-and-so? There's just no way. That kid would never come here.
Well,
yeah, he
like
would.
Like I said, they're going to catch the people that were talking on the telephone, the people that were basically making deals through Adidas and all these different people. It still doesn't catch the organizations at these various schools who have simply go out and sit down with a parent over a table privately in some distant place in a hotel or something and make a payment to that'll never be caught. And I think the vast majority of the cheating they'll get away with.
I just saw this tweet. You know Matt McCumber, former manager of the Illini men's basketball team. This is a Jay Billis tweet from last fall. Arizona fans were defending Sean Miller, saying he had no idea what was going on. It's laughable. And Jay Billis said, no, it's not. I know Sean Miller to be a man of great honesty. This is September 28th, a tweet. And great honesty and integrity. I don't believe for a second he knew of any improper behavior. What's Jay Billis saying this morning?
Well, Jay Billis is saying pay the players, basically.
Yeah, but when you tweet out something that emphatic about a guy.
Well, sure.
And then
everybody is honest until they get caught.
I just don't know how anyone at any point could tweet something out like that, either in September after the FBI story broke or even now, and defend any coach in this profession without actually doing any research. Like,
well, there's no way to research it.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way to find.
Which makes my point. You can't defend any of them.
No.
I mean, unless we're talking about, you know, a Division III coach, well, obviously they're not doing this because they're not getting these kind of players.
That's a good, by the way, the point about getting these players. You notice these are all the major schools.
Yeah.
The major basketball mm-hmm. schools, because they're not paying players to go to mid-majors.
No, that's not happening. I mean, this includes all the Blue Bloods and Hall of Fame coaches involved, and this is a very slow leak that's going to explode at some point. We're going to take our first time out. Coming up at 8:30, Joe Henriksen of City Suburban Hoops Report. Get his thoughts on this. He covers recruiting, has for quite some time. Get his thoughts on the Illini men's basketball team as well. Then at 9 o'clock, Kendall Gill is going to join us. Just a couple of days ago, announced as one of the new members of the Illini Athletics Hall of Fame in the second class. Get his thoughts on Illini basketball. We can ask about recruiting as well. And then again at 9:20, Matt Marino. Give him he's a guy who covers Arizona. We talked to him just a few weeks ago on Arizona football and Rod Smith. Brandon Dawkins, Lauren, announced just a couple days ago he's transferring from Arizona, and we talked to Matt about that a few weeks ago. We'll ask him about that as well. Plenty of time for your calls and texts, 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating Cooling text line, 351-5357. Stay with us. This is Saturday Sports Talk on DWS.
You can listen to DWS on your Amazon Echo. Just say, Alexa, play WDWS.
Welcome back to Saturday Sports Talk here on DWS. Lauren Tate, Michael Kaiser with you. 37 degrees at 8:18. Coming up at 8:30, Joe Henriksen of City Suburban Hoots Report will join us. Talk a lot of basketball returning. recruiting, talk college basketball scandal with the FBI probe and more. And then at 9 o'clock, Kendall Gill, and at 9:20, Matt Marino on Arizona and Sean Miller. Again, if you're just joining us or missed it last night, Arizona head coach Sean Miller is caught on the air, according to reports, caught him on tape talking about, on wiretaps, caught on tape talking about a $100,000 payment to Shakir star DeAndre Ayton, averaging 19.6 points a game and 10.9 rebounds a game. San Diego State has suspended Malik Pope. He's accused of accepting a $1,400 payment. Texas is withholding Eric Davis. And Miles Bridges' mother received hundreds of dollars, according to Christian Dawkins' expense reports. And this is all part of the federal authorities who monitored multiple targets and intercepted more than 4,000 phone calls across 330 days. Former NC State guard Dennis Smith received $43,500. And depending on the level of a player, $43,000 is obviously not as much as $100,000, but that's still a lot of money. Of course, he played here last season.
Yeah, he did. Illinois beat them, by the way, last year.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was that great, but I don't understand exactly what he got. They said $43,000, and then they also said $73,500. I'm not sure. I guess he was down on the ledger sheet for both those amounts, I don't know how much totally he got, but the point of it is that they're all getting paid. It's just a matter of how you find it out. And the subpoena power that the FBI has allowed them to do wiretaps that the NCAA could never do. Investigators for the NCAA have always had their hands tied because you're dependent on the individual universities to react honestly. And that's obviously never been the case. But I don't know how you blame the NCAA when they don't have the ability to do what the FBI could do.
From that standpoint, yes.
How would you go about finding what they just found out about Sean Miller? Sean Miller has denied that he ever did anything wrong. How do you find out that he did?
Well, he hasn't said anything since last night. That was in the fall where he denied he did anything wrong.
That's right.
You're going to need someone to talk. And like you just said, you can't make them talk if they don't want to.
Nobody's talked as much as – well, I shouldn't say nobody. But the main thing is that they just uncovered one – this is 300-and-some days of wiretaps. They've got 3,000 hours of – you know how long it would take to go over 3,000 hours? It would take more than 3,000 hours.
Oh.
just to listen. Just imagine all the stuff that might
Who
be on there.
Who has to do that job?
Yeah, well, you – the peons do that job. They listen and listen. Oh, hey, I found something. And then they bring it to the.
It is. I don't know how the NCAA could have handled this. I just.
They can't.
I feel like they still are acting like they didn't know. I mean, the statement
if somebody said to me, okay, Lauren, prove that somebody cheated. How do you prove it if you don't have
evidence? People wanted you to prove everything you've been saying for years.
I know. I can't prove it.
No. I mean, you knew it happened, but you didn't have documentation that it happened.
That's right.
I mean, Jordan Goodwin, I mean, that's and Jeremiah Tillman, those are two examples. I've heard stuff about both of them, as of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no way Travis Ford should have a job at St. Louis University right now.
That's right.
Cartier Gordon. I don't know. Those players don't think about St. Louis University. They just don't.
Well, everybody's out for themselves.
At that level of player.
There's no loyalty in the business. Everybody's going where they get the most money.
Yeah.
I mean, is that bad? That's what we all do, isn't it? I mean, if you got a better offer someplace else, you'd go there probably.
I mean, every time a coach loses out on a recruit, it's not because the kid.
Well, you can't say that. Weber and Gross were at a disadvantage. Bruce Weber can coach as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
John Gross can coach as good as anybody. It isn't their coaching that killed them. It's a fact that they were getting beaten out for athletes because they didn't play the game.
You know, and people sit there like they didn't.
And I'm saying that without knowing 100% sure that they didn't play the game. But I think that they were basically trying to be honest. And, boy, that's a bad business to be honest in.
Well, I mean, you could play the game and lose over and over again. So that's one thing.
That's right.
So we don't know.
Somebody offered more.
Yeah, I mean, how little I know of Bruce Weber. I mean, I knew him. I was around him, spent some time with him. I've talked him away from basketball. And, you know, I think he's an upstanding guy. But I don't know what he's doing behind closed doors. I don't know. And I'm not out, you know, alleging anything
and
with Bruce. I'm just saying.
When he would be going after an athlete. Let's just say he's going after a particular athlete. and that athlete has an offer from Adidas, or let's say in this case Nike at Illinois, and let's say Nike is as we'd like to see you go to Illinois, and we'll say we'll support you in this fashion with X amount of dollars. Maybe he wouldn't even know about it. I don't know that head coaches know about it in every case. I know they do in some cases. I certainly think Patino knew. I certainly know that Sean Miller knew. I'm convinced what's going on at Auburn is illegal, but they've only fired one guy there so far, the assistant coach. I'm sure that Pearl didn't know what was happening with his assistant coach.
Well, no, the biggest cheater in college basketball had no idea. Yeah, sure. Auburn knew. We talked about this last week. Auburn knew what it was getting into when they hired Bruce Pearl. They
sure.
absolutely knew that.
Sure.
And for anyone in the administration of Auburn to say they didn't.
But you just said a while ago that Arizona had told the head coach that if you cheat, basically what they're saying, if you cheat, we're going to give you 85% of your salary. Now, come on. If you cheat, my goodness, how can you offer a contract like that?
Well, I think it's if you do anything wrong, which of course includes cheating, anything to make the university look bad, cheating or anything else, we'll pay you 85% to go away. Like, if you do anything wrong, they're just going to fire you, kick you out of here.
That's
But you're going to retire anyway instead. But before that would happen, but it's amazing to me that again. I don't know if we're able to get off of that point. They're going to pay him.
We're talking about a really lot of stuff here, and this is just a tiny little tip of the iceberg. It's just one agency, one incident, basically, one situation with one guy, Miller, and his Dawkins, the guy, his runner.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how many other situations there are like this.
Sean was asked, I heard on the wiretap, that do you want me to go through your assistant, Richards, I forgot his last name, but do you want to go through him? And Sean said on the wiretap, no, I want the money to go through me.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, a bit of advice, if you're going to do this kind of cheating at that level, you might want to not know about it. Like, pretend to not know about it. And
well,
like,
the other thing is, don't say it over the phone.
Yeah, it's just, it's like email. Don't send an email that has something that could incriminate you later. We learned that here in town not that long ago. It's like, folks, anything that can be recorded or saved, and if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, you might want to just do it in the wide open setting out in the fresh air where no one's going to hear it or can record it. Sean Miller, again, I haven't seen anything yet, but I just can't imagine he coaches that game tonight. I can't imagine that DeAndre Ayton plays tonight, and I can't imagine he coaches that game tonight. I don't know if he's going to be on the staff after tonight. How does Arizona keep him there?
Yeah.
They can't, but, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. That's the thing.
Well, I won't. I think it's automatic.
Oh, I think he's going to be removed, but is it going to be now or is it going to be after the season? Are they going to say, hey, you know what? We saw the report. We need to see more before we remove him. Maybe they'll just suspend him right now before they fire him, which is that effectively that's a firing.
Well, if you're him, would you deny that that's your voice?
Arizona doesn't have the actual tape yet, so he could. He could say, I don't know. That report is wrong. I'm not on wiretap saying that.
If you're a criminal, you'll do anything.
Exactly. Since Arizona doesn't have that tape, he can say, that report's wrong. I never said that on the phone to anyone. And he could say that until Arizona gets a hold of the tape and then they fire him. Now, will he do that? I don't know. But I'm interested to see what if Arizona just suspends him right now or fires him. And the game's at 9:15 Central Time. They've got all day to deal with this.
Let me tell you something. If he ever coaches another game at Arizona, I will be the most shocked person in the world.
I'm with you.
I mean, he cannot be allowed to coach.
And Pearl shouldn't be allowed to coach, and he's still coaching.
Well, they've had Pearl on previous stuff. They don't have him on anything right now.
No, I mean just in past stuff he did wrong. Like I don't know how he's still allowed to coach in division.
Well, I don't know why you'd hire him.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd hire him.
Of course, I know 23-3 or whatever that record is. I guess that's why you'd hire him.
Yeah, well, there was no guarantee that was going to happen. Well, we're going to take a timeout. Joe Henriksen's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on all of this, get his thoughts on Illini basketball and Brad Underwood and what he thinks of Brad's first season and recruiting. Illinois obviously is not done recruiting yet. A couple big players Illinois is looking at and trying to get. And one player that's involved in Illinois recruiting that – you know, has Arizona on his list, and Illinois is competing with Arizona to get him. Well, Arizona might be out of the running. You might remember who that is. We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Saturday Sports Talk here on DWS.
You can listen to DWS on your Amazon Echo. Just say, Alexa, play WDWS.
Well, look at Trent Frazier. He's a great example. He didn't score in the Northwestern game. Hardly played him.
Right.
Hardly played him. He wasn't ready. And, you know, now he's turned into one of the outstanding guards. I mean, you get 20 points against one of the top teams in the country in one half. And he's competing on the defensive end. And you look at LaRon's development and you see where he is. And now you see some growth in DeMonte and Mark and you know, best, it's the old cliche, the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores. I'm pleased with the fight. I knew this would be a hard game in such a quick turnaround in such a short time frame, and three games in 6 days. Matt told me before the game, in all his years, he goes, I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
And we got the short end of the straw on that one, but our kids fought, and I could hang with that.
Welcome back to Saturday Sports Talk on DWS. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Lauren Tate. Brad Underwood after the game the other night and the progress of the Illini men's basketball team this season, especially Trent Frazier. Joining us now is Joe Henriksen, editor, publisher, the City Suburban Hoops Report in Chicago, Chicago Sun-Times contributor. Well, Joe, earlier this week, good morning, thanks for joining us. Earlier this week, we booked you to talk about Illini basketball and recruiting and the latest. Yesterday kind of blew that up a little bit with all the names being released. And I first want to just ask you your reaction to the detailed list of that expense report yesterday and the names that were on it.
You know, it's not much of a shock to be, I mean, the magnitude of it is, but
yeah, that's kind of a,
you know, the there's just so many conversations and dialogue going on in the college basketball world with a number of coaches you speak with and talk with, that a lot of this was bubbling over and ready to pop. And, you know, and from what I've heard, which a person who kind of previewed this, so there's plenty more to come with particularly some high-profile programs and coaches. So I think it's just the beginning, to be honest.
Yeah, and I wasn't shocked either just because, you know, we've been waiting all season since about September for more of this to come out, and it got really kind of quiet there as the season progressed, but here we are right at the end of the year, and more is starting to be released as this week has gone along. And then last night, I get done broadcasting a high school basketball game and get to my car and see the Sean Miller news. And Lauren and I just spent a lot of time talking about that. I don't see any way that he coaches that game tonight. Would you agree?
I don't know about tonight. I don't know how he has a job after the weekend, but that'll all play itself out.
Well, I'd like to know, Joe, what? Tell me how this you follow the high school kids in Chicago. They've had some great players in past years, if more so maybe than right now. How much of this do you think was going on at that time, 3, 4, 5 years ago, back when, you know, Okafor and others like that were being recruited?
Yeah, I mean, Lauren, this has gone on for not just that group, but, you know, on and on and on for decades. And, you know, not everybody is doing it or not every single player in Chicago and the Chicago area has their hand out. I don't, you know, that's not the truth. But in these high stakes, big time recruitments, it's just so prevalent. It's, you know, I've almost, my own personal opinion has changed with time. I've been desensitized by it. I used to be disgusted by it all, and I don't know if it's just that I keep hearing story after story after story from even programs I used to find to be reputable and classy and doing it the right way, and I realize, oh, wow, they don't either. So I don't know if I've just become immune to it, but I just feel differently than I did even 6, 7, 8 years ago because of, I guess it's what you get used to, I'm not saying it's right, but it's just I almost just kind of roll my eyes. And now this has got some teeth to it, so maybe it'll help alter and curb some things. But yeah, it's been going on. I mean, I you know what I just said earlier in regard to other high-profile programs. You know, one of the names I've heard is a Chicago kid that, you know, was part of a big part of this and could help, you know, maybe bring down another program. So, you know, we'll see. I, you know, it's obviously a black eye and a horrible thing for the sport. And it's a sport from the outside looking in that I think has changed more than any other high-profile sport that we watch today. From, and I'm talking about the professional sports to college sports. I mean, it's just the sport is so different than from what you guys and I watched in the 80s and the 90s.
Well, how much does it stem from this, the AAU stuff? Because Adidas is really involved in AAU, and that's and basically what we're talking about is payments to high school, to kids coming out of high school. They haven't really broken the apron strings completely. I mean, they still have parents who are very much involved.
Well, Lauren, I think it's expanded it. I think it's made it worse. But it's not to say because of AAU. I mean, if we go back to the 80s, you know, is anybody – I mean, there were books written with Sonny Cox of King and some of those things, you know, when the high school coaches seemed to have more control. And,
yeah, they did.
But I think those numbers were smaller. There weren't as many people with their hand out as we see now, because now these college coaches and programs who are – for lack of a better word, cheating, they have more mouths to feed in the cheating process and to manage and who is going to be the person. And they find out this person is the central figure in the recruitment and they take care of them. But yet then all of a sudden it's changed 6 months later sometimes. And now they've got to feed another person. And it's really, I mean, it's very. We talk about recruiting being fluid. So is the cheating, and it's just you can't single out one method of doing it nowadays, as opposed to, you know, 25, 30 years ago, because now you got so many from agents to shoes to AAU guys to, you know, hangers on. I mean, it's just an endless for some of these top recruits.
Well, it looks to me like a lot of the money right now that we're identifying is coming from the shoe companies, in particular Adidas. They can arrange that kind of money because they have the ability to do it between agents and the shoe company. What do you do about the groups of people representing schools that don't have anything to do with the shoe companies but just want to see our school succeed, form a little group, and then pay under the table to the parents of players? I mean, that they're not even close to that stuff yet, and that's
no,
huge.
Lord, I don't see an answer to it. I mean, people say and ask me questions about this the last 7 months, and my answers, they're like, oh, this will really change things, Joe. And I kept saying, you really think it's going to change? Because, you know, this really puts us – all they're going to do now is – I mean, it became the wild, wild west again, and it was just a free-for-all, and people weren't careful. I just said, well, now they're just going to be more careful. It's so easy to cheat. I mean, it just is. And it goes down to the moral fabric of coaches, as opposed to – yeah, you can put up some barriers, and you can make some inroads and cut the legs off of some of this. But I mean, if they want to cheat, they're going to cheat. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. I just don't. There's too much money involved, and I'm talking about a grand scheme of everything, from TV to the school universities to, and now what the coaches are making. I mean, when a coach, I compare it to the steroid era when those players saw those baseball players making millions and millions of dollars because of the steroid issue, you know, they decide, well, if they're doing it, I'm going to do it. So
yep.
These assistant coaches see these staffs are making $300,000 now at the high major level, $350,000 for some, and I'm making $98,000, $75,000, $110,000. I can double, triple my salary. And it's very easy to go down that road when you see others doing it and you want to be a part of it.
Joe Hendrickson, editor-publisher of the City Suburban Hoops Report in Chicago. Joe, kind of goes along with just kind of any crime. Like, you know, people still, there's laws out there people break all the time, and they just keep breaking the same law over and over again. So, you know, I'm with you that these guys are just going to, they're going to be more careful about it. It's just, it's not going to stop, because can it be, I don't think it can be stopped.
Well, I think that they can, that Adidas is going to have a real problem cheating as the way they have.
Well, I just think cheating in general, not just Adidas. I'm just talking coaches.
No, I think cheating in general will continue, but I think that once you identify something like this, that Adidas will be very careful in the future. I think
there's no question that people are going to clean up some areas and be more careful. And that's why I said earlier, be more careful. But again, there are different levels of cheating. This goes back again to what I said earlier, where I kind of turned my head and didn't mind the quote unquote cheating, that whole gray area. And the gray area has been extended a little, goes a little deeper than, it's a very, very dark shade of gray, I guess. And that is just, people would be amazed and I think shocked at the amount of small amount of cheating and small amount of payments that are going on. I mean, it's become the norm, and whether it be giving a recruit and his family $1,500 or $3,000, you know, I keep hearing about college kids need to be paid, and you know, I don't think this is happening hardly at all in the Ohio Valley Conference or the Mid-American Conference or Summit League, but you know, when you're going into these high-level, high-major conferences, it's just the norm. I mean, I hate to say it, but it is. And it could be and I don't know, everybody has a different opinion of what they view as significantly cheating. I mean, as obviously a $100,000 payment is a little bit different than giving a family a $1,200 cash to maybe put a down payment on a car or something. So it's all the different levels, and I don't know where you kind of decipher what you believe, unless you're just the person that says everything counts, it all cheats, nobody should cheat, nobody should do a thing. And I just think that's going to be impossible to curb.
Well, Joe, I think fans will maybe have a different perspective finally when, you know, when John Gross missed on recruits, they were just furious. I can't believe they didn't get so-and-so, didn't get X, and didn't get Y. Well, I think fans are going to go, well, I'm not going to be mad at such-and-such coach anymore for not getting this player because he probably didn't pay him enough.
Well, and that's what stinks for coaches that do it right in particular, because they don't know. I mean, the fans don't know, and I'm not saying I know everybody, how every single recruitment goes down either, but I know enough that I know it's hard for them. It's like they need a little label. All right, this one was lost because of cheating, this one wasn't. Because the fans don't know what went down with each particular recruit, you know, and we lost him just because we lost him, or we lost him because of the shady stuff. Nobody really knows. So from the outside, when you're watching this, which recruiting has become its own sport and game in the way it's covered and followed, and they, you know, it's hard for them to figure out, okay, was this on the up and up, or you lose a kid you didn't think you're going to lose, and now it's the automatic thing. The automatic thing is what? To blame what? The cheating. Mm-hmm. And it maybe it's not true. You know, so, you know, Jalen Brunson, I mean, 100% guaranteed no big payments were made. I mean, there's not these types of recruitment. That thing was as clean as a whistle. So, I mean, I don't think anybody ever said that either. You know, they weren't saying, oh, he went to Villanova because they cheated. But that's kind of my point is there's so many of these guys that, Illinois did lose. I think some of them were of the variety of what we're talking about, but not all of them were.
Well, I mean, they get the Cliff Alexander situation where Illinois thought they had him, and then Kansas got him. The Jeremiah Tillman situation, the Jordan Goodwin, Illinois was appeared to be the leader the whole time, and then toward the end, but SLU, and now we know Jordan's situation. He's not even in school right now.
Well, I don't know if Jordan Goodwin, there was cheating going on in that. They hired an assistant coach who had an in with Jordan Goodwin. I mean, that was what
Yeah, but I've heard other things too. But
But I haven't heard that he got paid. I think he probably did, but I haven't got any evidence that and nobody's ever told me that. By the way, speaking of star players like that, who's your player of the year in the state of Illinois?
Yes.
Oh, it's Talen Horton Tucker.
By a mile?
It's going to be a runaway. Yeah. He'll be player of the year in the Sun-Times. I mean, it's not, it hasn't been voted on yet. But I mean, it's just there's no way he's not going to be. And I would imagine Mr. Basketball. So, yeah, I mean, he has taken such a huge leap. It's unbelievably impressive. I've always loved him. I thought he was a high major early on, and just truly believed in him because of his skill level and his IQ and basketball knowledge of how he goes out and plays the game. But yeah, he's going to be for sure the player of the year.
Tell us about Dosunmu and how his game will progress into the college level. I mean, we've seen that Smith, you know, who was player of the year last year, legitimately a player of the year as a high school player, that is, you know, that he doesn't have the long arms, that he doesn't have the quite the skills yet for college basketball. He's kind of been struggling the entire season. Will Dosunmu have that kind of a struggle, or do you see something else?
No, I do see something else. Mark Smith, you know, I jumped on the board, on the, you know, bandwagon as well, and I'm not backing off from what I thought of him. I do think it went a little bizarre and crazy, which sometimes happens when somebody bursts on the scene late. It just becomes crazy in the recruiting from going into that spring because it's such a need but the thing that's different to me is Mark Smith's not. I mean, Mark Smith was an on the ball guy, dominated, and in anything I wrote, any radio interview I ever did, my concern was always, I've never seen Mark Smith play off the ball. You know, so going into Illinois, I mean, obviously it's been all off the ball, and I didn't know how he would play and react and do, you know, in that different type of situation. And I think that's part of the problem for Mark is just kind of adjusting to, I mean, he was just a ball dominating guard, and that's what he did at the high school level. He dominated the ball, dominated scoring, passing, you know, and, you know, they have a lot of on the ball guys at Illinois. And so Io is very much like that as well. Io Dosunmu is not an off the ball guy. And, you know, his biggest weakness is his perimeter shot jumper, which, you know, it's gotten a little better. But I just think Io has a more natural fit and feel for the position he will be playing and fit in style with the speed of the game of how Underwood and Illinois wants to play, getting into, you know, in transition, in the open court, really getting into the – I mean, there's one thing getting into the teeth of a defense in the half court, penetrating the lane zone, but – what Io will do is he will push, and he will get other people shots. You know, the question then becomes, and I know the staff and everybody, it doesn't matter, we'll just get our guards out there and play. But, you know, he's another on-the-ball guy. Trent Frazier is as well. So that'll play itself out, and they can play off each other. But, yeah, I mean, I just think Io fits. It's going to be a more natural progression for him because of who he is and the position he plays and where he's going to be playing at Illinois.
What's your thoughts about a junior as far as player of the year? And that, I'm talking about Liddell down at Belleville West. He is really good. I don't know, having not seen Horton Tucker this year, I have seen him. It's hard for me to imagine Horton Tucker's better.
No, I think they're very comparable with where they're – I mean, EJ is farther along as a productive high school player as a junior than Taylen was.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. I mean, EJ Liddell and Taylen Horton Tucker are probably the two most high-level, productive, high-level players in the state of Illinois. And EJ's been doing it for 2 years already. So, you know, he's on – I'm the rare person that has EJ Liddell number one in the class over Francis Okoro. I know nationally people have Okoro higher, and everybody else has Okoro number one in Illinois. I've just had Liddell number one.
No, they're just totally wrong on that. By the way, Liddell had 11 points last night. They lost to Lincoln in a low-scoring game.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. You know, so to your point, yeah, I mean, it's hard to find a more productive player in Illinois than EJ Liddell. And comparatively speaking – you know, Taylen Horton Tucker wasn't even on anybody's radar, the top 100 player. I mean, nobody's. And that was as recent as this fall. So he has played himself up into a legitimate consensus top 50, top even pushing top 30. And Liddell's already in the top 50 as a junior. So nationally, he's already ahead of the game in that regard. I just absolutely love him. The concern – go ahead.
I was going to say he reminds of Nick Anderson, doesn't he?
Yeah, if you the high school version of Nick Anderson, you're correct, Lauren. I mean, people that saw Nick Anderson, the NBA, and you know, the latter part of it, you know, he became a three-point shooter, so everybody thinks it's Nick Anderson, which is an unbelievable shooter because he was such a great shooter in the NBA and perimeter guy, but that's a great – I've never heard that and never have said that, but you're right. You know, Nick's more athletic than EJ, you know, but EJ's probably an inch or two taller.
No, I'm sorry. I was comparing Nick Anderson to Talen Horton Tucker.
Oh, I got you. I actually go back to the Liddell because Nick was like this undersized foreman in high school and came into college. I mean, even played some in college, a 3-4. I just think Talen Horton Tucker is one of the most misconceptions about him is who he is as a player. I hear people say he's a foreman. I mean, he's a skilled dribble, pass, and shoot guy. He's going to play – he'll play point forward. He'll play the two. He'll play the three. He'll go small in a small ball lineup that college coaches play now and play the four. I mean, he's this multifaceted, versatile, ball-handling perimeter guy. He's not – even though I think his body type throws people off, you know, he's become a very good shooter. I think he's going to be a high-level elite shooter when it's all said and done. So, you know, going back to Liddell, though, and Okoro, the big thing for Illinois, and this has been the disadvantage for Illinois basketball in recent years, and it's continuing a trend that is unfortunate for any coach that's down there, and that is the surplus in numbers of high majors coming out of Illinois and Chicago or any parts of the state are so limited. And, you know, so what happens, guys, is when Illinois and the staff sinks their teeth in on these guys, there's no backup plans in state. If you don't get plan A or B, you're kind of done because there's not any depth. This is the same case, right? I mean, after Liddell and Francis Okoro, I mean, there's nothing left in Illinois for high majors. I mean, those are the only two no-brainer, bona fide, no doubt about it, high majors. I know they're, you know, brought Peyton on campus, the kid from Bloomington, and, you know, he's got high major potential. I'm just talking straight, no doubt about it, surefire high majors. And there's two of those. And that's just not, that's unheard of.
I'm going to get you on one little subject real quick. I don't want you to expand too much, but are you as disappointed as I am that Talen Horton Tucker wound up going to Iowa State and the whole thing fell through for Illinois on just a massive recruiting thing that when the guy actually was going to come to Illinois, I think?
I'm disappointed in how it went down more than, you know, where it ended up going. Sure, I like guys to stay in state, no question. I'm very close to the Iowa State coaching staff. I really like those guys. I love them, actually. And the disappointment to me was just how the whole thing, and I know it played out last fall. There's probably no reason to bring it all back up. But it left a real bad taste in a lot of people's mouths of how it all went down in those final few days. Yeah. That's the disappointment for me.
Joe Hendrickson.
Talen Horton Tucker, guys. Talen Horton Tucker is one of the, been doing this for 20 years, 25 years, and he is, if I had put a top 10 top kids together, I think Talen Horton Tucker is probably my top 10 in 25 years.
Wow, that's a pretty high compliment there, and makes Illinois fans probably cringe a little bit knowing that he's not going to be here. Joe Hendrickson, editor, publisher of the City Suburban Hoots Report in Chicago. Joe, I want to and stick with Taylor just for a minute. Did he win that? Is he going to be Mr. Basketball because Io missed a significant part of the season with the injury, or was he just better no matter even if Io got to play the whole season?
No, that's a good question. If Io plays the whole season, one, we don't know what he would have done. He missed a good month, so – And if he plays that whole season out, we don't know what he would have done in that month. But if you project what you think he would do, yes, it would be I think it would be a tight race. I do. Although Simeon's dominance just really kind of making mincemeat of everybody they're playing. And Talen Horton-Tucker feeling that, it's really hard to ignore. I mean, Simeon is not known for big numbers, big offensive statistics, and 20-plus point-per-game scores. They just – I mean, I can't even definitively say if any player in the past history has averaged 20 a game. Derrick Rose didn't average 20 a game. So Horton Tucker's just put up significant numbers for the best team in the state. So it would be hard to take that – to ring that away from him. But, yeah, it would be right there. It would be close.
Well, Joe, we're out of time. We didn't really get a chance to ask you about what you thought of Illinois basketball season. We'll get you on soon and talk to you, break that down after the season ends, and get your thoughts on Brad Underwood's first season. But unfortunately, we're out of time today, and probably still more we could talk about even before we get to that topic.
I appreciate you having me on, and give me a call anytime. We can talk more.
All right, thanks Joe. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. That is Joe Hendrickson of the editor-publisher of the City Suburban Hoops Report up in Chicago. Give him a follow on Twitter at Joe Hoops Report. Always a good follow for recruiting news and anything going on, especially up in Chicago. Coming up next, remember the Flying Illini, Kendall Gill joining us. He was announced as one of the inductees into the Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame, the second class, along with his coach, Lou Henson, which we knew last summer. And 21 in total, Darren Fletcher. Talk to Kendall about that. We're going to talk to Kendall about Illinois basketball this season. Haven't had him on for a while. We'll be good to hear from Kendall Gill. That's coming up next on Saturday Sports Talk on DWS. Welcome back to Saturday Sports Talk here on DWS. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Lauren Tate, 38 degrees at 9:03. Pleased to be joined by a member of the Flying Illini, Final Four team 1989. New inductee into the Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame, part of the second class with his coach Lou Henson and many others. Kendall Gill, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Pretty good, thanks. Well, congratulations on the honor. Just what did that mean to you to get that call from Josh Whitman?
Oh, it means a great deal. You know, shows that all my hard work and everything that I did at Illinois paid off. You know, and shows me that, you know, my team is appreciated along with my coach back in 1989. So that's what it means to me. It means a great deal to me as an Illini. Of course, you know, I bleed orange and blue. Mm-hmm. So it meant everything.
Well, and to go in, you mentioned your coach, Lou Henson, to go in with him on the same class, is that something that you even thought you'd ever get to do? Go in the Hall of Fame at the same time?
No, not at all. Actually, I thought that coach would be the first person to, inducted. So, you know, and I thought that, you know, I might trail him. But, you know, it's an honor to go in with him. And, you know, I'm very close to Coach Henson. So I'm sure that he's happy as well.
Well, Kendall, I'm going to bring you right to today's subject, which is obviously all the things that are going on in college basketball and the developments out at Arizona. What's your reaction to what you're seeing?
Well, Lauren, it's discouraging. You know, I attribute it to AAU basketball. You know, I haven't been a fan of it for years. I know I haven't let my son, who's 11 years old now, play AAU until this year. And, you know, I can't tell you how many instances I've seen of this happening, even on the AAU level, you know, and it's trickled up to the college level. Listen, this is the main reason for the NCAA to revisit paying players or giving them a stipend, because I don't think that this would happen. NCAA makes so much money off of college athletes, and if you gave them just a little bit, I think that this would take that scenario out of college basketball.
Okay, Kendall, but let me ask you this. How do you separate basketball from all the other sports? I mean, if you give a stipend, and they already have a stipend, but you're talking about more than what they receive, I'm sure.
Yeah, more than, yeah.
But how do you not pay the football players? And if you pay the football players, how do you not pay all the women in Title IX who are going to insist on equal pay? How do you possibly pay one sport and not another?
Well, I'm saying pay everybody.
Well, now you're talking about 500 athletes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the NCAA makes enough money to pay 500 athletes. You know, they make so much money, so I don't see why there's a problem in doing that.
And that's just off the NCAA tournament. That's just billions of dollars just off the NCAA tournament. We're not even talking about the college football playoff.
Yeah, they just paid $818 billion for TV rights for the NCAA tournament alone.
Right, exactly. So you can't tell me that the universities that I mean the money that the universities make can't pay the athletes even on you know in every sport. So that's what I'm saying. If you did that, it takes all of this out of the game. Nobody does anything illegal.
Well, I don't know if you'll ever see that because most of these schools are so, you know, like Illinois are so in debt. I mean, yes, they've got the money coming, but it's already spent before they get it. They're always building something new, another building, another, you know, this and that and the other thing. And not only what they've already committed to, but they want to do more. I don't think they're going to pay the players. I think that the athletic directors and the commissioners around the country are dead set against that. Most of them, I think.
I'm sure they're probably dead set against it, Lauren. But I'm just saying that's the way to stop everything. You know, I know it's far fetched. It'll happen, but. And it probably won't ever happen, but I'm just saying that is the remedy.
Yeah, that if you gave each player, each athlete on campus $20,000, and you had 500 mm-hmm. athletes, that's $10 million. They could afford that. Illinois could afford that. I don't know about other schools. I don't know how many schools could afford it, but you could do that based on the money that you got coming in. They got $51 million a year coming in, just from TV alone. TV and radio, but
right exactly.
Anyway,
how much does Arizona bring in? <You know?
laughs> Well, and the football schools, Kendall, like Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, that have 100,000 at their games or close to that or more. I mean, those schools are making a lot of money just off of football, and so their coffers are a lot larger than Illinois's because Illinois Stadium only seats like 60-some thousand. Another idea I heard, Kendall, was let the players, instead of paying them, let them make money off their likeness.
You're in trouble there.
Now, my thing would be like the video games with the names on the game, the jersey sales, like have a Kendall Gill Flying Illini jersey with a name on the back and make it authentic jersey. I mean, I'd buy one of those, by the way. But
thank you.
I'd probably buy the whole team. I'd use Lauren's checkbook to buy all those, by the way, from the 89 team. But that's another way to do it where it doesn't matter, you know, the universities can pay for it. If EIU can't afford it, well, the players can make – if an EIU student wants to buy, you know, a player from the basketball team's jersey, then that player gets a certain amount of money off of that. What do you think of that idea that I've also heard? And it's a different way for them to make money, signing autographs and things like that.
I think that's great. I mean, but you got to allow them to develop some type of income off of their likeness. And off of what they're doing. I mean, listen, the NCAA and the universities are benefiting from the guys. I know that a lot of people say, well, they have their scholarship and everything. Yeah, they have a scholarship, and all the athletes appreciate that, but I don't think that it's comparable to the amount of money that you're making off of the athletes. That's my argument in that regard. And is it still a rule? Because I haven't been too in tune with everything. Is it still a rule that the athletes cannot work during the school year if they're on scholarship?
I think pretty much so, yes. Yeah. The problem with the working idea is that some car dealer is going to bring you out and as they did with out in California way back in the days when the UCLA was right next to Hollywood, that they could bring them out there and pay them excessive amounts of money for doing virtually nothing. You know, you could have a car dealer hire somebody for and pay them for standing around. I mean, I there's going to be, you know, even if you pay the athletes, there's going to be cheating. If there's always going to be somebody trying to buy the athletes for their school. I mean, that exists kind of everywhere. Everybody has a group of serious men with too much money on their hands who want to buy athletes for their school. I mean, it's just a fact. It's true everywhere. I say everywhere. It's true a lot of places.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the problem that we have. So, you know, the NCAA and the university, they have a huge, and this problem has been, and this scenario has been there forever. I mean, they have a huge problem on their hands as far as taking care of this, because you're going to start to, I mean, I don't know how much deeper the investigation is going to go, but, you know, the University of Arizona, DeAndre Ayton, and now actually, you know, we've talked even on our pregame production show here in Chicago for the Chicago Bulls, whether this will affect Lauri Markkanen as well. We hope that his name is not mentioned in any of this.
By the way, where are the Bulls going from here?
Well, what I think that they've done a tremendous job of, you know, trading one legitimate all-star in Jimmy Butler for potentially three. I think that Chris Dunn is a potential all-star. I think that Zach LaVine is a surefire all-star. I think that Lauri Markkanen is there with them also. So what they've done is they've got three core guys, and now they're trying to take a look to see who else is going to go with those guys. They traded Nico Mirotic, who really didn't want to be here. And I actually thought Nico Mirotic was playing the best basketball of his career when he was traded. But, you know, if a guy doesn't want to be here and you're moving in another direction, then I understand the Bulls' move. And now what I think they're trying to do is to attract another free agent here, perhaps a Jabari Parker. Kawhi Leonard appears to be unhappy in San Antonio. Rodney Hood, who just got traded to Cleveland, is a free agent. I think that their eyes are set on getting a legitimate small forward. And once they get that and a couple more grizzled veterans, I think this team is right back in contention in the Eastern Conference.
Well, I think the best thing the Bulls have done so far this season the front office, John Paxson, Gar Forman, have not said that they're officially tanking like Mark Cuban said and got fined $600,000.
Well, they're smart. They want to keep their money.
Yeah, I don't blame them. They don't have as much money as Mark Cuban does.
Right. That's like a drop in a bucket to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's been fine. I heard the other day it's a total of $2.4 million and just $600,000 on that one thing. Well, who do you want as of right now? You mentioned DeAndre Ayton. There's Trae Young. I've kind of backed off of him a little bit. He's kind of struggled of late. I feel like he's a phenomenal player. Marvin Bagley III. If the Bulls had the number one pick today, what's the lottery system? We don't even need to guess whether they actually will or not. Who is the pick? If the Bulls have the number one draft pick and have anybody they want out of those guys, or if there's another, who do you think they should pick?
It would be Ayton, because right now, a seven-footer with a pro-ready body. He's fundamentally sound. He can step out much like Joel Embiid to the college three-point range and knock down jump shots. And physically, he's just ready to go. And, you know, I really like Bagley. However, they have a power forward in Lauri Markkanen, who I think is going to be a perennial all-star. So Ayton would fit right in with what the Bulls are doing. He can run pick and rolls really well, which is great for Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. Even Lauri Markkanen at 7 feet tall can run pick and rolls with Ayton. So if the Bulls did have the number one pick, it would be Ayton.
Well, before we let you go, Kendall, I wanted to ask you your thoughts. I know you're really busy with the Bulls and doing a lot of pregame, half, and postgame shows with them and keeping an eye on that. But I know you still watch Illinois, and what have you seen from a growth standpoint in Brad Underwood's first year, and what do you think of what he's doing right now?
Well, listen, they have talent, but they just don't have enough talent just yet. You know, and I think that there needs to be a couple recruiting classes to come in so you can really see what Coach Underwood's system is all about, you know. And, you know, once that happens, I think it's great. You know, I think that the program is pointed in the right direction. I think they have made a great addition with Io coming in. I see the kid play here in Chicago every once in a while, and he's the real deal.
Before you get off him, Kendall, how does this game translate to college?
I think, you know what I liken him to? I liken him to, and a lot of people probably don't remember this guy. You guys probably do, but Michael Ray Richardson.
Okay.
You know, a big point guard that can do everything. His jump shot is not as consistent as it will be in the future, but he can get to the basket. He's 6'4", 6'5", has long wingspan, can really get to areas because with his ability to handle the basketball. So I think his game is going to translate very well, especially with Coach Underwood's up-tempo system. You know, and I was getting back to this story where Danny Manning, I actually live right next door to Io's uncle. I didn't even know that. You know?
Oh, really?
And so I'm outside doing my yard work with my boys, and Danny Manning pulls up, and I'm like, Danny, what are you doing here? You know? So he says, oh, I'm actually recruiting Io. His uncle lives right there. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. So, you know, now I'm looking out, I'm spying for the university. Danny's SUV is out from my house for about 4 or 5 hours. I'm like, man, he really tried to work.
Did you tell him to back off?
No, I didn't, because I didn't really know what was going on at the time. But then, you know, after Danny left, a couple of days later, I happened to see Io's relative outside because I was walking my dog. And I was like, yeah, you know, I didn't know that was your nephew. And then he was like, yeah. He's like, you know, I can bring him over to talk. I was like, no. I was like, I don't want to talk to him. Just tell him this, that I still benefit from going to U of I after almost 30 years of graduating. I was like, that's all he needs to know.
Yeah, definitely.
And the next day, and then the next day he gives the commitment. So,
hey, Kendall Gill getting some credit for that commitment there. All right.
Yeah. So, but I'm really excited to watch the kid play, and I'm really excited about, you know, what's going to happen for us in the future.
Well, Kendall Gill, thanks so much for your time this morning. Congratulations once again on the announcement and joining the second class of the Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame. Look forward to the gala this summer and then the induction ceremony this fall. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yep. That's Kendall Gill, member of the Flying Illini 1989 Final Four team, inducted in the Hall, announces a new inductee into the Hall of Fame this week. Coming up next, we'll switch back over to Arizona, more of a focus on Arizona. Matt Marino, we had him on a few weeks ago talking about Rod Smith, the new Illini offensive coordinator. Brandon Dawkins transferred from the football team from Arizona this week. We want to talk to him about Sean Miller when the news broke last night. We'll see what he thinks about Sean Miller and a recruit Illinois is after that Arizona is also after. That's coming up next on Saturday Sports Talk on DWS. Welcome back to Saturday Sports Talk here on DWS. Michael Kaiser, Lauren Tate with you. Thanks for joining us in the early edition. Remember, Illinois baseball comes up at 9:45 pregame with Scott Beatty. Get you going to Illinois baseball at 10. They're going to play a doubleheader today. West Virginia and then Coastal Carolina. Scott Beatty's enjoying the beach out there in South Carolina. But we're still talking FBI probe. Some news last night on Sean Miller, apparently on wiretaps, talking about a $100,000 payment for DeAndre Ayton, one of the best players in all of college basketball. Joining us now on the phone is Matt Marino. We had him on a few weeks ago talking of college football, but now we're going to talk some college basketball. Give him a follow on Twitter at MattGoAZCats. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Did you get any sleep last night after this news broke pretty late in the evening?
Yeah, I got a few hours. Luckily, I mean, obviously it's been quite a whirlwind over the last 12 hours or so, but managed to get a few hours of sleep in there, but definitely an interesting situation.
Yeah, when I got in the car last night from a broadcasting high school basketball game, I saw the Sean Miller news, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm not surprised at that because what happened with his assistant. But do you think there's any – I don't think there's any way, but do you think there's any way he's on the sidelines tonight at Oregon?
It's interesting because I do, because only because Arizona was so quick to move. We've obviously been through this now before, not this same situation, but something similar with a report coming out that's pretty damaging in Rich Rodriguez not too long ago, kind of having a national report come out about him. And, you know, hours later, he's no longer the coach. So I think the swiftness, obviously, was pretty late that this all went down Friday night. So maybe you don't make a move that quickly, but you have to think that Arizona at least had some kind of heads up that this story was going to be coming out. And if it had plans to fire someone like Sean Miller right away, it would have happened last night. So I do think there is a chance he ends up coaching. It's such an interesting situation, a unique situation that, Arizona has not released any kind of statement yet. That's not different from what we saw when the original investigation became public and Blake Richardson was arrested. Back in late September, they took a while to get a statement out there. I think they were one of the last schools to actually release any kind of statement. So it's not rare or different for this to happen. But at this point, it seems like they're kind of just sitting on things for the moment. We'll know more as the day goes on and as the game gets closer. But I think we would have heard by now if Sean Miller wasn't going to coach. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when they take the floor Saturday night in Oregon.
What about DeAndre Ayton, because he's linked to this wiretap conversation? Now, obviously, I'm assuming it's a pretty safe assumption, but that Arizona doesn't have access to that wiretaped conversation. So it's not like they actually have the evidence in their hands that this phone call actually took place. So is DeAndre Ayton safe to play tonight?
And that's the other interesting aspect of this. For Arizona, you're going off of a report, and it's hard to make any decisions off that if you're the administration and trying to decide what you're going to do with this entire situation. If Sean Miller is coaching the team tonight, DeAndre Ayton's going to be playing. I mean, it's one and the same. They're the same issue, and I think both end up happening, and you just take it from there. But there's still there's a lot more questions right now than there are answers, that's for sure. And as of now, I would assume that DeAndre Ayton is going to be playing in tonight's game. What happens beyond this, because it all happened so quickly and Arizona does have a game to play, we'll see what happens. But I think he ends up playing. I think Sean Miller ends up coaching, and then you just take things from there. Obviously, there's a lot for Arizona to think about, to decide on, to figure out. And it's making the situation a lot more unique and just different than what you would have in a normal, in quotes, I guess, situation under different circumstances. So it's really interesting. I'm really interested to see how Arizona's approaching it. They've been very, very quiet since last night. It's not surprising, but it's definitely interesting to see that they haven't really released any kind of statement, haven't addressed it in any way. And obviously, the public has kind of made their decision on this. Obviously, it's prominent writers that are coming out with this information that have gained the access to these wiretaps and this information. And you have to believe that they're being told the truth, and this is truthful information. So it definitely is making an interesting situation for Arizona, but I'm interested to see where it goes from here.
I would think this is way beyond a decision by the athletic director and would carry on to the president and the board of trustees. I'd assume that they probably would have to have some kind of a teleconference among themselves to make this decision. Would you think that'd be the case?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to involve a lot of people. The thing that was striking to me when this originally went down, the president at the University of Arizona is new. The athletic director is new. They've both been here just about a year, maybe even a little bit under a year. They didn't have to fully back Sean Miller like they did when this originally came out. They kind of had that built-in out of saying, this isn't someone we hired. We don't have to back him. We don't know what was going on before we arrived. And they had that built-in out to kind of get away from this if they really wanted to, if there was something more there, if they believed that Sean Miller was involved. At the time, obviously, it was just Blake Richardson. He got arrested. The athletic director at that point fully backed Sean, said that he's run a clean program while he's been at Arizona. He's never had any issues, and he had their full support. So it's interesting to see how this has changed over the last few months with now Friday's report coming out. You would have to think that Arizona at least has some of that information, or at least knew it was possible. But it was always striking to me that the administration fully supported Sean Miller when it really didn't have to. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of work through this themselves, being that they gave so much support to Sean Miller throughout the process. And it's definitely going to involve more than just the AD and the president and everyone that's there.
Are you familiar with his contract, this contract that apparently has, even if he's fired for cause, he gets 70 or 80% or 85% of the original $12 million that he's owed?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting contract. And because Arizona is a little bit more cash-strapped than other programs and isn't able to just give out as much money as a base salary, it's just an interesting contract all around. I mean, that's obviously an interesting element of this. And at this point, how, if you're going up based off of report, because you'd have to imagine that Arizona doesn't have access to those wiretaps, can you even fire a coach for cause when it's just based on someone that someone is saying and sources? It's mm-hmm. a very interesting situation in general, because you're going to fire someone for cause based on just the report that came out. Other than Sean Miller saying, yes, this is me on this recording, I don't know how much you, how you go about that. So that's,
well, how does he deny that it's him? How can he, you know, how can he deny it's his voice?
Exactly, but how do you have access to that information? You don't have access to those wiretaps if you're Arizona. And if it's somehow,
true.
If it somehow comes out that it isn't him, or that there is no Sean Miller, this guy is lying. I mean, it's just, it's an interesting element of what's going on right now. And so there's a lot of different elements, and that's part of why I'm sure it's taking so long to even come out with any kind of statement, because there are so many pieces, there are so many questions. But the contract in general is just an interesting one. Rich Rodriguez is going through this. Greg Byrne, who's now at Alabama, the AD, who this was a lot of this went on under his watch. They all got paid through oil stocks in part. And so that was another element where there's just a lot of interesting little ties to these contracts, especially Sean Miller, because he continues to kind of get bumps up in pay, and because he has produced so much on the floor and obviously didn't reach the Final Four, but consistently had Arizona in the Sweet 16s and Elite Eights, and had done a lot for the program, that Arizona had to get creative with how it kept him on board here at Arizona and how it continued to kind of keep him happy.
Matt Marino joining us on Saturday Sports Talk here on DWS. Give him a follow on Twitter at MattGoAZCats. Covers Arizona Wildcats football and basketball teams. And Matt, as we know, I haven't seen it, and maybe you have. You may have dug into the seat deeper than I have since last night. Has there been any allegations that the payment of the money was actually made, or was it just the conversation on the wiretaps that's been reported?
As of now, it's just the conversation. And again, there's a lot more questions than there are answers right now. Things have been very, very quiet out here in Tucson. Most of the administration is actually in Oregon right now with the team, so there's a lot of discussions going on up there in Eugene, and a lot of things happening up there. But as of a confirmed payment, that hasn't been made yet. I mean, that's something that maybe nobody will ever know until these things come out and it's really proven. But as of now, it's just a discussion, and no confirmed this money ever got to Aiden, that this money was ever real. Obviously, it's just a discussion at this point, and a lot of reports and sources. So a lot to be determined, but as of now, I mean, there's no way of knowing. It's similar to someone like Javon Quinterly with Book Richardson, who was accused of getting $20,000 at some point to give to Javon Quinterly. We don't ever know if that actually made it to his hands. And so that's always the other side of this.
That's a really good point, because a lot of the, like a $100,000 payment might have been 25 per year for 4 years, and you know he's not going to be there for 4 years anyway. You know, I mean, some of those, you know, those $100,000, $200,000 payments are never completed. They're discussed, and maybe a portion of them go, you know, but I don't think you're going to pay him $100,000 in a lump sum, do you?
I mean, it's all relative and different to every situation. And I mean, they're talking about a lot of different things that maybe get talked about as on the recruiting trail and never end up happening. And I mean, there's just so many different ways this can go. And there's a lot of middlemen when you're dealing with college basketball. I think people are starting to figure out there's very much a dark side of college basketball recruiting. And it's not new. It's obviously been around basketball for a long time, but there's a lot of middlemen. There's probably more middlemen than ever before, who are part of these deals that end up happening or alleged to have happened. And so, I mean, it could be where there's someone in the middle that got that money and it never made its way to someone like DeAndre Ayton. So there's a lot of different scenarios in play here, and none of it good, but just a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different things. So right now we don't know what the case is, and maybe we'll learn as it goes on, but it's definitely put Arizona in a negative light. And a program that continues to kind of come up in a negative light when you factor in the Alonzo Trier situation and
yep.
failing a second PEDs test just the day before. Just a lot of negative light on Arizona, and that's coming off a winter where you have your football coach getting fired for some pretty serious allegations himself. So a lot of not good things happening here in Tucson at the moment.
Well, I wanted to get to the Alonzo Trier situation in a moment, but Tevin Jones, recruit that Illinois is after and that Arizona is after, they're both after him. He lives in California right now. I would think that this impacts Arizona's ability to convince him that Sean Miller is going to be there if he survives the weekend.
Right. This is a big blow to what had already been a pretty big blow for Arizona on the recruiting side. Tevin Jones is someone that they've really kind of just started really getting involved with this season. Obviously, he's from Arizona originally, so they had some connections there. They knew about him. They had looked at him, recruited him a little bit, but he's someone that they really turned the heat up on just lately. So part of that reason was because they were in line at one point before all this came out in the fall to have potentially their best class of all time. You're talking about multiple five-star recruits, guys that are going to be NBA players, and was very likely going to be their best class ever at Arizona. And once the FBI investigation all became public and Book Richardson was arrested, that kind of fell apart and recruits started looking the other way. And a lot of those five-star guys that they had lined up to eventually commit likely in the fall just kind of fell apart, and Arizona became that school that no one wanted to touch, no recruit wanted to touch. And so a lot was very, very quiet throughout the fall and through the winter. Right now there's still two players committed. One of them is a five-star, Sharif O'Neal, Shaquille O'Neal's son. But both players didn't sign their national letters of intent. They just signed grant and aid papers, meaning they can back out whenever they feel like. There's nothing that's tying them to the school right now. So that obviously caused some concern for fans. Let them know they probably know a little bit more, or they're at least wary of what's going on and that there could be more. They're looking very smart this morning, obviously, knowing that what could potentially be coming for Arizona. But, yeah, it's definitely an interesting situation for recruiting. And to me, the damage had already been done for 2018. Even with a guy like Jones, he's someone that you have to look at the situation and realize, especially more, even more so this morning, that it's not necessarily a situation that a lot of recruits are going to want to be a part of. Or whoever's advising those recruits is going to tell them, hey, you maybe need to take a better look at this program. I think 2018 is really going to be very, very tough for Arizona to add anybody of that level now. Sometimes the court of public opinion matters more than a lot of other courts, and public opinion about Arizona right now is not very good, and that'll trickle its way down to recruits, and there'll be people in their ear telling them, hey, I don't think you want to go there, and that's not a place you necessarily want to be at. So I think it makes it definitely very difficult for Arizona to land someone like Jones and really anybody else that has its eye on. But we'll see how it plays out the rest of this week and today and how it goes from here. But I think 2018 recruiting is going to be very, very tough for Arizona to close this thing out.
Well, running short on time here, Matt, I just have to watch the Alonzo Trier situation, see how that plays out. But I wanted to ask you about Brandon Dawkins just in the last couple of days. Now that he's transferring, we asked you about that a few weeks ago. His offensive coordinator is here, but what are you hearing right now on where he might end up? Illinois needs experience. If a freshman coming in at quarterback, only have one guy that played last year, so Illinois is in need of experience. But what are you hearing about where he might end up right now?
There hasn't been a whole lot. I mean, it's a pretty new situation, but I think Illinois would make a lot of sense. I know he's had a strong relationship with Rod Smith and obviously knows how to run that system, and it's a system that fits him well. There hasn't been a ton of word on where he's going to be headed. He is originally, before his California days, he's originally from Hawaii, so that has always been something that I thought, you know, could appeal to him going back home. You know, he still has a lot of family out in Hawaii, and so that's one scenario I could see him kind of fitting into. But Illinois definitely makes a lot of sense, and it seems very natural with his offensive coordinator now leaving, and you just follow him there, and obviously quarterback coach at Arizona. So I think it makes a lot of sense from the way he fits into the system. He's not going to fit into everybody's style. He knows that he's a runner. That's what he does. He's not a prolific passer. It's not what he's going to do. He's going to really shine when he's in a running type of system. And Rod Smith is someone he's worked with before, and I think it fits really well with their need for a quarterback as well. So there hasn't been anything concrete, but it wouldn't shock me if he ends up following Rod Smith and going to Illinois.
Well, Matt, great stuff. We'll continue to watch this situation and see what happens to Sean Miller and the Arizona Wildcats. I know it's been a really busy week for you. Whenever you can do it, put down your phone or your computer and get a nap, will you?
I'll try.
Hey, Matt, thanks a lot. You've been a lot of help.
All right, thank you guys.
Yep, have a good weekend. That is Matt Marino. Give him a follow on Twitter at Matt Go AZ Cats. Matt covers the Arizona Wildcats and the football team and basketball team as a part of the Rivals Network. Senior editor of GoAZCats.com.
Do we have 30 seconds?
We got a minute 40.
Monticello defeated. Let's see, Gibson City, Melvin Sibley.
Yes, who had a great season
right.
as well.
And Benton Singleton, who's the junior on an otherwise senior team, had three threes and the winning basket, 35-43, and they won the regional, and now they play St. Joe Ogden.
Yeah, they had three hit the shot just before the horn, and so Monticello advances. St. Joe Ogden won the regional championship last night. Exciting high school basketball, and Monticello's had a really great season.
How about them Sages?
Yeah. But
they made the Final Four last year.
The Spartans are –
It's a tough road. These are tough games.
That's a hot game next week.
Where will that be played? Do you know?
Oh, you would
I'm
ask
sorry.
Me that
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, you asked me that. As we're almost out of time here. A couple text messages to get to before we wrap up the show. Benny texts in, Sean Miller should resign, and when will Jarrence Howard get an opportunity to be a head coach? Not sure about Jarrence Howard. And 618 area code on the Castle heating and cooling text line just made my point for me in regards to Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Illinois has let their football program fall bereft for three decades. If you aren't going to compete with those schools, get in a conference with your peers. Well, again, this is the same thing you keep saying to us, but then half the Big Ten needs to go. I mean, just there's a lot of teams in the Big Ten who can't compete with those schools on a regular basis, recruiting or on the field. Every once in a while, you're going to beat them. That logic just doesn't make sense. That's going to do it for today's show. Illinois baseball coming up next. 9:45 pregame with Scott Beatty. First pitch at 10 o'clock. Thanks so much to Joe Hendrickson, Kendall Gill, and Matt Marino. Lauren Trake, great stuff as always.
All right, see you later.
Thanks to Evan Kahn for producing today's show. Most of all, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody.